Thank you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. One reminder before we get to that point in the service, we are in the season of Lent, and one of the things that is traditional, I guess, during the season of Lent is to do what's called burying the Alleluia. Because this is a season of penitence, a season of fasting, Alleluia is not necessarily an appropriate expression, and so we've changed the doxology, and we'll be singing the doxology after the offering that is the one without the Alleluias in it. So a little heads up before we get there. Can you bow with me in which we pray? Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to stand in your presence, to reflect upon your word, and to offer ourselves to you, that we might be your servants, shaped and guided by your word. So as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, by your spirit may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One plug that I do want to put in, Wednesdays we are still doing the pastor's Bible study at 10 a.m. and talking about the text that will be the preaching text for the next Sunday. So if you're interested in coming and talking about that a little bit, and even depending on some of the questions and comments, helping to shape the sermon for the coming Sunday, it's a good time for me, and I hope that those who have been coming have enjoyed that and continue to. But you're always welcome. It's not a long-term commitment. If you can make it 1 week or not the next, please join us. So through this season of Lent, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I kind of broke the ice on Wednesday evening for the Ash Wednesday service, and we looked at the introduction to this book. But a little bit of background on this book is that most scholars agree that it's an anonymous author. Now, there's some things that we hear in here where it talks about being the son of David and a king over Jerusalem that may lend us to thinking that it might be Solomon, and that could be correct, but we're not certain about that. But it's clearly a person who demonstrates a degree of wisdom. And in fact, this book of Ecclesiastes is referred to as wisdom literature. Now, I'll give you a fair warning here that this is not necessarily a lift-you-up, make-you-feel-good book of the Bible. It's one that actually takes a little bit of wrestling with on our part. And it's one that I think offers us some good insights. So what we're going to see is that the author of this book, referred to as Qohelet, and there's not a real good understanding of what that name is. It could be a proper name. Some people think it means teacher or preacher, but regardless, Qohelet is the one who crafts this book. And I think the point of this book that we're going to find is that it's an opportunity for us to learn from Qohelet's observations and experience. Now, Qohelet is probably at a point of experiencing a midlife crisis, a crisis of faith, a struggle with what's going on. He's searching for meaning, searching for purpose. And so the portion that I'd preached on Wednesday came from the first chapter, and we could summarize that chapter by saying, at the end of the day, life is frustratingly absurd. The cycles of nature scream this message to us. You live, you exert a lot of energy, and nothing new comes of it. Nothing new happens. Just like the sun, the wind, and the rivers. And guess what? Then you die. And not only do you die, but here's one more thing. It's not going to be long before everybody forgets that you were even here. Now, if that's not an encouraging pep talk to hear, it doesn't get any better. I'll just tell you that now. So Qohelet pretty much lays the framework for this letter, for this writing, saying, all right, here's my experience, here's my observation. We work, we put all of this effort forth. Nothing new ever comes of it. And then life ends. And not only that, you're soon forgotten. So Qohelet, having reached this point in his life, says, all right, you know what? I'm going to try and figure this out. I'm going to try and apply myself to understanding this. And so in chapter 2, prior to where we start, Qohelet talks about, actually at the end of chapter 1, Qohelet says, you know what? I think I've got it. I think wisdom is the answer. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to seek to be the wisest person there is. And he says he applies his mind to seeking and searching out wisdom and all that is done in the heavens. And then he says, I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and chasing after wind. Chasing after wind, that's a metaphor for the futility of it. Because who can catch the wind? You can struggle, you can watch it blow things about, you can chase a kite, you can chase dandelion fluff floating around, but for all of your effort, there's no chasing the wind. There's nothing to be gained from it. And that's why we find this phrase recurring through all of the things that Kohelet is experiencing. All right, wisdom. Wisdom's got to be the answer. He chases after it, and he says, oh, that was absurd. That was chasing after the wind. So then he says, you know what? Maybe there's more to this life than what I'm seeing. So in the beginning of chapter 2, he goes and he says, come now, I'll make a test of pleasure and enjoy myself. At this point, Kohelet decides he's going to live like a rock star. He's going to live like a professional athlete. He's going to live like a celebrity who has millions of dollars to just blow. And he talks about all of these decadent, earthly, worldly, fleshly pleasures that he indulges in. And he says, you know, not sure that was worth it either. In fact, he says in verse 4, he said, I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I did all these things, but I realized that life is just a few moments and none of these things actually make it any better. And so once again, after spending all this time and all this money and all this effort and living it up, he says it's all vanity and a chasing after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So he's trying to find meaning and purpose on his own. He's trying to go out and say, all right, I'm at a point of feeling frustrated. Surely pleasure, surely making myself feel good will make me happy. Now, for this ancient text written probably in the 5th century BC, he understands how a lot of people are living their lives today, doesn't he? We see it all the time, and people that go and spend and spend and spend, and you know, the whole catchphrase for Las Vegas, what happens here stays here, encouraging people to live that life of self-fulfillment. But have you ever really met or encountered somebody that truly was happy living a life that way? More often than not, we see those lives come crumbling down. How often do we hear of million-dollar lottery winners that just a few short leaders end up declaring bankruptcy? Because they thought they could just do what they wanted and go on living like that with no limits and no restraint. Kohelet is pointing to the fact that, you know what, you're probably going to try this on your own, some of you, but let me tell you, this is not what it's about. This type of living is chasing after the wind. So he continues saying, what else should we do then? He said, you know, I thought that wisdom was going to be the answer. And in the text that Madeline read for us this morning, he said, I thought wisdom was going to be the answer. I thought wisdom, being smart, would do it. But he said, I realized that, you know what? Just because I'm smart, just because I'm wise, the same thing happens to me that happens to the fool. At the end of the day, we're both going to die. So what's the point? Why put forth the effort? Because it's still just chasing after the wind. So then he says, you know what? Maybe this, getting ahead of himself time-wise, but it's applicable for us. We could coin the next part of what he does as that Puritan work ethic. If I apply myself, if I pour myself out, if I engage in my toil and labor harder and longer and more, surely then I'll build something up and I'll accomplish something and it will have purpose and meaning. But you guessed it. He comes to the same conclusion. All of this effort, all of this striving, all of this sweat and work and labor, all amounts to nothing. So the struggle continues for him. He gets up. He goes through the motions of his day. And he says finally, toward the end of chapter 2, "There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil. But apart from God, who can eat or have any enjoyment? For to the one who pleases God, God gives wisdom and knowledge, but the sinner he gives work to gather and heaping, only to give to one who pleases God." He starts to come around and say, okay, maybe it's not for me to decide what the meaning and purpose is. Maybe it's not for me to go in and create and search out and find something of value that I strive for and I do. Maybe it's about pleasing God. He hasn't come to that conclusion yet, but it's starting to occur to him that maybe there's something else going on. I think this book of Ecclesiastes is a good one to open up and lay these things before us as we go through this season of Lent. This season of preparation, the season of being reminded of what is yet to come, but to be reminded that we are not yet there. That we'd like to be able to just jump right ahead and celebrate Easter and say, yay, here it is, the tomb is empty, but we have a journey to make. And part of this journey is the one that Ash Wednesday prepares us for. For those who participated in Ash Wednesday here or somewhere else, or if you didn't, I want to remind you that when people come forward to receive the ashes, we're reminded of our mortality, of our humanness, of our Koheletness. That we're reminded that from dust we have come, and to dust we shall return. Very much what Kohelet is experiencing in his life right now. You live, you work, you die, you toil, there's nothing new under the sun, and then it ends. That is the fate of living things. And yet at Ash Wednesday, we're also reminded to repent and to believe the good news. Kohelet hasn't stumbled upon the good news yet. It hasn't been revealed to him. Friends, we need to be mindful of our state. We need to be mindful of the fact that we do live life by our own terms and our own plans and our own wishes and wants a lot of the time. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we find ourselves struggling with why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people. Sometimes we don't understand why we've done all of the right things, we've done everything everyone told us that we should, and yet life keeps dealing us a rough hand. But friends, there is that good news. There is that good news of a God who loves us, a God who sends his Son and makes salvation possible. So, while this message isn't a comforting and pleasing one to think about, boy, yeah, life has been hard and there have been difficult things and I'm not sure why these things have happened, know that the story's not over. Know that we're not there yet, but we are on the journey. Recently, I was listening to a podcast on the Bible, and one of the presenters was talking about the frustration that he has with American Christians. And he said the thing about Protestants in America today is that we're addicted to answers. That we're so addicted to the answers that we just want to rush to having the answer and have blinders on to everything else. But he pointed out that for our Jewish contemporaries and even the rabbis who sit and argue and debate today, they're not so concerned about getting to the answer as they are in the journey getting there. And he went on to explain that like Jacob wrestling with God for that blessing, rabbis teach that God is more often found in the wrestling than in the solution. Kohelet is trying to move toward a solution, but he's not there yet. But I would suggest that as we wrestle with Kohelet, we keep our hearts and our minds open to see how God is revealed in the wrestling, in the struggle, in the challenge. We don't always understand. It doesn't always make sense. But as we wrestle with it, may God make God's self known to you. And may you see in the midst of the challenges at times that God is there. That God is not some far-off destination that we're trying to claw our way to. But even in the midst of the tough stuff, even in the midst of the moments that Kohelet has of being frustrated by not understanding or finding that meaning, that God is still there. So in your day-to-day life, in this journey through Lent, and in whatever ways you choose or choose not to observe this season of Lent, my prayer is that your eyes would be open to discover that God is with you on this journey. And it is not chasing after the wind if you're seeking God and His understanding and His meaning instead of your own. Amen.